Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket. Welcome to the Down at Third Man podcast, and we've managed to somehow make it already to episode 2. No one has yet took us off the air, which is always good. So today we're going to go through a lot more stuff on both world cricket and club cricket. But before we start, we just want to say a big thank you to Woodstock Cricket, who are our supporters. Go and give them a look online. It's also on all the social media, as you expect. And actually, before we get into anything cricket, I'd just like to give a shout out to Ashton Hume. He's a 12-year-old lad from around Stoke. Used to teach him at the ASM Sports Clubs and at Ash Green Academy. And he's currently suffering from a really rare form of bone cancer in one of his legs. He's currently going through chemotherapy, and basically we're trying to raise money for him online for supporting him throughout his treatment and supporting his mum. So if you could head on to Twitter and have a look at Vicky_Ashton, that'd be really great. And if you could give him some support and make a donation, that's even better. Okay, right then. Before we get on to anything cricket-related, let's welcome my two helpers, friends, cricket fans, whatever you want to call them, Aid and Jono.
We're not friends, mate.
Well, yeah, acquaintances, put up with each
mate,
other.
Mate, do us a favour, come on the podcast, you know what I mean?
That one, yeah. How are we, boys? Are we okay?
All right, mate, how are you?
Scraping the barrel if you've asked us to, I know that much.
Well, yeah. I'm amazed, boys, that we've got through an episode, an hour-long episode, without anyone A, moaning about us, or B, reporting
don't
us.
Don't count your chickens, mate.
Yeah, don't.
And we've had good feedback, even for your Aussie bashing.
My dad told me that we haven't had any bad feedback because no one had listened to it, so I don't know whether he was just taking the mick out of us or what. But
well, we've had 188 listens to that first episode, which, I'll be honest, is about 180 more than I was expecting.
Yeah, so, I just wonder if 150 of them are my mum.
Well, yeah, I did wonder whether a few people...
She was quite proud of us.
Yeah, it's always good. As long as the mums are proud, that's all that matters, isn't it? Yeah,
thanks, mum.
Right then, first thing I think we've got to talk about has got to be the England-Sri Lanka Test Series. Obviously, it finished on Monday in the end, not Tuesday. England got it done within 4 days. Interesting test match, almost went the opposite way in a sense to the first test match. Sri Lanka won the toss again, never a good thing when you've got a ball first, to be fair, goal, but Sri Lanka did well. They got 381 on the board. Angelo Matthews was probably the main performer for them. Jimmy Anderson taking 6 for England, and we also had a few from Mark Wood as well. And England did well, to be fair, I thought, to mainly thanks to Root, obviously, with his, was it 186, to post 344, but they were trailing, and I guess really you could say after that first innings, they maybe should have been leading or a lot closer, would you say, boys?
Yeah, defo. They probably got a few too many, didn't they, that Pereira, that Diluran, whatever his name
Diluran
is.
Diluran Pereira. Like to slog, I would say.
Yeah, a bit agricultural. He got way too many. Interesting stat, by the way, that I saw when it was finishing, when he was smacking it about. Haven't England have conceded the worst 8th, 9th and 10th wicket partnerships in world cricket over the last X number of years?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure for the last 3 years we're dreadful against tail-enders.
That sounds a very England-like stat. We cannot bowl at bowlers. We just can't. We can't bowl at nobody's.
I can believe that, to be fair. It does always seem to be the case.
But he was right, though, wasn't it? After the first innings, they probably got 50 too many and we were probably 50 light, weren't we?
Yeah, we blew it a bit late on, didn't we?
You don't lose, do you? Especially when it's getting returning on days 4 and 5, anyway.
Yeah, I did fear for us about just as the second innings were started. I really did, because I just thought...
The prediction was looking so good as well. I said, whoever wins the toss will win the game. Matthews will get the most runs. Root will get the most runs. And then Anderson got 6 for him, that kind of messed that up.
Yeah.
The man, well, the legend that is Jimmy, king of the tail enders, king of the cricket podcasts,
exactly.
James Anderson.
Who can only bowl in England.
Got a better bowling average in Asia than Kapil Dev.
Yeah.
But can only bowl in England.
That Johnny, did you realise I'm not going to get many listeners now you said that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry. I'm just doing it. I do it last week with Australians. Do it last week with any Australians who wanted to listen. This week I'll do it with any Indians who want some kind of battle. James Anderson is better than Kapil Dev in Asia.
Fact. Brilliant.
That's a hashtag that is now.
It's a stat. Hashtag is a stat. Better than Kapil. Done. Absolutely done.
I can't wait to see how that goes down. To be fair, though, to England, I mean, well, was it England? Was it Sri Lanka being pretty dog shite again? I mean, the spinners turned it on. Can't blame, give any blame what to Richard Best in that second innings. They were good.
Well, didn't they? The only, if they literally just batted the full day four, and even if, if we were chasing, what, 250, 270?
I don't think they'd have needed that many.
Well, yeah. And if they just needed. Because what were they ahead? Were they like 30 ahead or something?
37.
Yeah, something about that. Oh.
So if they literally got 200 on day four and just batted the full day and just batted 80-odd overs.
I reckon they could have batted even longer than that, a day and a half. I reckon they could have gone into the last
day. Yeah, the day it was, then likely it is. They were going to bowl us out, weren't they? So.
Yeah, it makes it two. In that way, it was similar to the first test, wasn't it? I think that they're just... I think, I don't know what kind of got into the top order's head, but everyone just wanted to... They just looked like they were all just trying to get it moosed.
That was funny when Root said something to Chandamal and then literally just
smashed. We'll get on to that later, dude. We'll get on to that later. That's one of the topics later.
You know what I mean? He's meant to be the captain of his country. Mm. You're three down early doors on a bit of a snake pit. Think to yourself, you'd already calm down, mate. Just stay in your crease. What are you doing? Just back for a bit of time. Oh, Matthews, yeah. Again, we spoke about this, too, didn't we, the other week? The lad just loves playing against England.
He did until he decided to try and slog sweep more or less a straight one off Don Bess and went for five. But first innings, he was class, to be fair to him. But that second innings, I'm looking at the scorecard now, and to be fair, I can't believe Kusal Pereira and Tirumane got double figures. Then the next four batsmen all fell for single figures. That's not just, it's just not good. And when you realise that...
Kusal Pereira, by the way, I know he got that unbelievable innings against, was it South Africa, where he pretty much knocked him off by himself.
Yeah.
I know that he did that, but he's one of them, isn't he? He's either going to get a lot very quickly, or he's going to get none.
Yeah,
he's
I'll be honest.
He is an inspiration for club cricketers everywhere, because he is literally to moose it and get 100 in a test match, or he's going to get none. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I'll be honest, he's cost me some money, to be fair, because I had £2 on Emble Denyer to be top wicket taker for Sri Lanka, and I had Pereira as a bit of an outsider to be top run scorer, thinking, just needs one innings. That's all he needs, one of his big innings. Out of four attempts against England's debatable spin attack, well, he'll hit one. No. £2 would have won me something like £94. I was fuming. But there you go. Take the England win.
Emble Denyer can play, by the way. He's going to be a handful. I hope he doesn't turn into the next Harath, because if they get anyone who can remotely hold a bat, he might be dangerous for a few years.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think there's not going to be many players out there who've only played seven or eight tests like him who are then going to come out in a second innings and end up top scorer, and not only top scorer, but beat their own first-class best score by as many as him. I think his first class best score was about 24, 28 before that game, and he goes and hits 40 or 42 balls. I mean, that was where I thought England were going to lose the game.
I thought he was taking the game away from us on his own wickets, runs.
However, Golden Boy did it, didn't he?
For I kept
the thing of, when I fell asleep, we'd end up getting loads of wickets, I'd wake up and then they'd just take us apart, so I just kept turning it off.
It's just the golden excuse for not a proper member of the 4 a.m.
club.
Not a full acquainted member. I am really chuffed for Sibley, by the way, because I think he is just a proper bloke, proper English bloke. He looks horrendous, but he just doesn't care, and I like that.
Yeah,
and I'm chuffed for him because it's like the. He reminds me a bit when you're at school, the lad who you think's okay and gets bullied dead bad. I could imagine him getting bullied at school. And he just strikes me as a really nice.
So we don't have him on here, too.
I was going to say, I don't think he might come on here now.
No, he's the kid that gets bullied. I'm saying that's why I don't want him, because I don't want anyone like giving him grief. I want people to leave him alone. I think he was, sure for him. Probably saved his place as well, I should think.
Yeah, I think
we spoke about it, haven't we? Probably saved his place.
Yeah, say, obviously, Sri Lanka all out for 126. Didn't set England much at that point. The fact that Root took two for none off 1.5 overs. Now means he averages more with the bat than he does with the ball, which is fair play to him.
I still think he's a very, very good second spinner. If you do one spinner, underrated. I do.
Just debatable. Which I know is debated by people, but I'm with you. I'd be tempted, not gonna lie, to play him as like we have done as the third spinner in the subcontinent and the second spinner if you're ever only gonna plan on playing two. Obviously, as you said, Sib isn't 56, not out, off 144 balls as well. Fair play to him. I mean,
that's the sort.
I'll be honest.
Why is the winter start? That's
what we were crying out for 18 months ago, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's why he's going to be key come the Ashes, because we all know Pujara's shown it. You just need bat and bat and bat and knacker the four Aussie bowlers out.
That's and wear about plan. Eight blows.
Yeah. Be willing to
Joe didn't get a big score, did he? You know, he didn't get 40, but he was always getting 40 to 60 off 210 balls. Is that right? That Sibley's up there as well, isn't he, with the most amount of balls faced since he started in international cricket?
Yeah, I think
he's up the most balls.
Yeah, I think it might only be as a one, maybe two players who've faced more.
Joe's one of them, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, so. Fair play to him, and I think the thing with Sibley that I think is most important, and maybe is why he's now maybe edging Crawley a bit for is the fact that he seems to learn quickly. When he first came in, there was talk of, oh, this is his problem, and he sorted it, and now he's literally had three innings in the subcontinent, realised he's struggling against left-arm spin, and he started to look confident. Now, I know he had three umpires' calls, but he looked a lot better. Still didn't look great. I'm not going to pretend that he's suddenly become Root.
You say that, though. But I'm telling you now, I think two of them, definitely, and one of them, debatable. But I don't think I'm giving any of them out live. Certainly, you know, when you look at a TV and just look at it, you go, that's out, mate.
Yeah, the angle and everything, because he was left on going around.
I wasn't giving them out. Like, one of them, I thought, oh, that's a bit closer, but...
Yeah, one was 50-50, I'd say. The other two I'd have given not out, as you say. I wouldn't have even blinked an eyelid, to be fair. And I don't think Darmacina did, to be fair to him. And then when he probably saw it back and forth, shit, you know, they're actually just clipping the top of leg. But fair point to Darmacina, actually, because I thought, after the second one, because the second one was the one that was probably about a millimetre off being given us out on DRS, I thought, if he gets another one, he's getting triggered. But he stuck by himself, and fair play to Darmacina for that, because that, to be fair, he's had some stick over the last couple of years for some right dodgy decisions, so call out to that. And then looking at the scorecard, obviously Bairstow got 29 off 28, bit of a typical Bairstow, I guess, chase innings that, try to get it done quickly. And then Butler, I thought, looked really good on 46 off 48, a bit disappointed he didn't go for a big waft to try and get his 50 and win the game, like. But
well, did you see Sibley apologising? Because he got that one, didn't he, at the end of the over? So I think he had to get a 6, didn't he, if he wanted to bring up his 50. Well, I don't think he wanted to rescue, did he?
No.
Was it the first innings that he got 30-odd? Or did he get 50 in the first innings?
He got 50 in the first innings of the second test, didn't he?
30-odd in the first innings.
He got 55 in the first innings of the second test, and
it's
when he hit
Mendes
into his own foot. Yeah. It was a bit debatable whether it hit his foot.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good in the first innings, so it doesn't surprise me. He's just the man, and I think after the grief he's copped as well, because he copped some grief, hasn't he, over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's placing the test side, and
he's kept very well as well, hasn't he?
I tell you what, he has as well, because he had one stumping. I think I was speaking to Turner at the time. He had one stumping in the first test that, like, was proper odd. Really, really tough chance. And he missed it altogether. It went for byes. It might have been Dick Weller, actually.
Yeah, I think it was Dick Weller.
That's a mental stat as well. He's only got one stumping in test cricket.
That was his first one, wasn't it? Yeah. Just not long after that one.
Like, that can't be right.
but other than that, he's perfect, wasn't he? Absolutely perfect.
The only thing you can say as well, as I know people are giving him stick for that stat, but the one thing I'd say is, A, he didn't keep for quite a few of them 40-odd tests or whatever it is, and the other thing is the ones he has kept in have often been in England. Now, I'm not being funny, but is a test match keeper in England, you're not going to get many stumping opportunities because you've got Jimmy Brodie, you've got Archer bringing him down. So I can't believe that he'll have had that many chances.
Well, there's like that test. Someone wanted it. I think Best literally bowled about three overs of the whole test. You've got four decent seamers, so you don't really need them, do you?
No, that's the thing. So I think
not many games go to the fifth day anyway in England. So
no. So what do we think then, looking through the squad now, the England squad? Obviously, we're going to do the India preview next week. But any worries still? Anything that you're now happier about after last week? Because obviously, I think last week we were thinking crap openers. They're good openers, but they're going to let us down in against spin. And to be fair, I guess the other thing was a bit about the bowlers in terms of probably the spinners. Any thoughts changed on them, or are we still a bit iffy on those?
Still a bit on the fence, I think.
Yeah, I think we're on the fence, aren't we? They just need to bowl. They just need time, don't they? We said it after the first game, didn't we? And I think it was there after both games, really, that the more they bowled, the better they looked.
Mm.
Really slow to get going. Let's ignore the fact that Best got five wickets that first test. we're going to straight out ignore that because he absolutely burgled them.
Yeah,
They looked proper rough first innings, but they both bowled pretty well. Leach especially bowled really well as he got going that second innings. And I didn't actually... I thought they bowled better to start with, but still wasn't great. A bit short that first innings, second test. But again, they bowled really well. Both of them bowled really well.
Yeah, I think they bowled better probably in the second innings of the second test than they did in the first. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I don't think they bowled that badly in the first innings of the second test. I think the issue was the track was a proper road. Let's be honest, it was the sort of... If we're talking North Staff cricket, you're thinking, like, Alex Longton, which Meekins, it seemed like an absolute road, which was completely bizarre. And let's be honest, at no point...
You've not played on the wickets I've played at Meekins.
Haven't you?
No offence to any Meekins members, but... All I'll say, mate, is I've seen a ball hit to the middle of the wicket a good length and go for six. That's all I'm saying.
You must be quick, though, to get a game called off like that.
Oh, where your PV is. Here he is. Anyone who doesn't know,
that was a great day. That was as well.
That was a great day. We were actually going to have a pause of the game to watch
Sweden. I think it was
Sweden, and we ended up being abandoned after two balls because Tom Fox, who is married to someone that I work with, and a nice lad who was opening the batting, nearly got his nose taken off.
By in. Yeah, unbelievably, unbelievable. Yeah. I remember that day as well, because I'm sure we played at Hamford, and I'll be honest, they did not want to go off to watch the football, and we'd been promised that we were going to be allowed to, and they were saying no, or they might have said you can only go watch the first half. You can watch the first half during the tease break, that was it. We were absolutely not having any of that.
Yeah, it'd have been made,
I think we were spanned by the time England actually kicked off.
Well, true, yeah.
That's the day when I saw ex-Wedgwood, ex-Bignalend legend, Mitch Edwards, shout out to Mitch, now of Knivesley Cricket Club, absolute legend of both of our clubs and local cricket. Proper, he is a cricket badger, literally, in physical appearance and in mental. Like, he loves cricket, so he's a badger and he looks like a badger. I've seen that man do 9 pints in 90 minutes of football.
But I think he also did one at half time.
And
as well.
He did one at half time. So we're going to count 10. And he'd been drinking before that. It was one of the most impressive feats of drinking I'd ever seen, to the extent that he had to go for a sit down in front of the score box, the other side of the pitch.
Whilst the seconds were playing the second innings.
While the seconds were having their second innings. Just to have some time by himself.
What a day.
That was a great day.
Completely off topic about, but it's Mitch related, so I guess it's on topic now.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember, dude, going and watching your dad play for Wedgies at Audley in the Cup, when me and you were probably like early teens, and Mitchell had got a duck or something the day before, so he decided to have 3 or 4 pints before he went out against a Prem side in the Cup, and he hit a ton.
Oh, yeah.
I still remember that to this day. I can never get over that.
But I've heard the story of Mitch got 120, 130 against someone, and someone had to put his pads on for him because he was that drunk from the night before that he couldn't actually strap his own pads on and everything. So someone kitted him up and he just went out and smacked 120, 130.
I've also captained on a 2020 day a couple of years ago when yours truly, Aid Lalo, went to the pub in the break between games in the 2020. We were on first game and last game. There were as the away side up at Alton, and we played. We played Church Eton, and no disrespect to Church Eton, right? I absolutely love the way they go about their cricket. Of course, I've got a couple of stories there, some absolute belters. But
we'll save them.
We played. Do we play the first or the second? I don't even know.
I
can't remember who we played. But in respect to Church Eton, they're from a pretty lowly division, so we expected to win. Anyway, these lads came in and they smacked our pro everywhere, and we were all looking around going, what's going on?
I think he smacked him for like 25 off of the first over.
25 off the first over or something. We're all looking around going, what's going on here? And everyone's kicking off. Everyone's like, what's going on? What's going on? Off the side, disappear. We end up winning, thank God. Save the embarrassment of getting rolled by a side about four divisions below us. And we win. And then half the team disappear off to the pub in the break of games because there's been a row about how bad we were in the first game. And then everyone, luckily, everyone turned up after it and everyone was in a much better mood. And I think we won it. We might have won again.
I think I had a nice gammon and about 5 pints, I think.
We also saw a great car windscreen smash that day.
Oh, what a day. Shout out to Adrian Myatt.
Yeah, shout out to Adrian Myatt.
Park.
Big Glenn legend providing us great entertainment that day and having himself put through a car window with one of the biggest sixes I've ever seen.
That's what we should do one episode in and just do funny tricky stories.
That's
sure we can fit plenty of stories in over there.
I can think of about three just from Church Eton alone.
Wow.
I remember playing at Church Eton when the entire league, every other game in the entire league, right, in every division was off due to rain, and we played a full game at Church Eton. Like,
yeah, we did that more or less last year. Everyone else was rain delayed, and we were exactly baking hot sunshine.
Yeah,
madness,
absolute madness.
Right, back to the professionals and not us pissheads.
Matters at hand.
So quickly, just before we get on to looking a bit more at the England players, Sri Lanka, obviously, Emble Denyer, easily their player of the series. Angelo Matthews, probably the pick of the batsman. But my biggest thing has to be Chandamal. Now, I know he's not the normal captain, but it screamed of Sunday side skipper. He just didn't change his field. You got Tom Sibley, and his field to Tom Sibley was just bizarre. Deep mid on, was it? Square leg or something daft. I was like, what are you doing?
To be horrible to him, but he can't hit it off the square normally. It's like, why have you got everyone out, especially when we were chasing 160?
I don't profess to be a very, very good captain or anything like that, but one thing I will say to you is,
I've resigned.
Yeah. If I was playing against Dom Sibley, I'd have two fielding positions at an absolute must. I'd have like a mid wicket. Short and I'd have a square leg. I'd have a short mid-wicket, a mid-on, and a square leg.
And just have a ring, and then he isn't going to get past you, so...
And he wouldn't move.
Utterly bizarre, but I just wanted to mention that. I don't think... Did anyone else make any of you think, oh, he's a decent player, or, oh, God, he's dreadful? Because for me, there wasn't particularly anyone...
The two places in the side that did make me laugh. They dropped the number three because he got none, and then the number three that come in got none. And then at number seven, they brought... That other spinner, he did all right, didn't he? But again, didn't really improve him too much.
Yeah, I'd say much of a muchness about a lot of the sort of backup players that they've got, to be fair.
Mm. But yeah, then number three, I think they probably got about 10 runs between them for the whole series, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. It was, I think that was the thing. When you look at them, they're not... To be fair to Terry Marnie, Terry Marnie wasn't that bad. And I must admit, I think if the captain was in, whose name I can't say, Karen Natrin, that one, I can never say his name right. If he was in, because to be fair, I think actually he's one of the openers who might have faced more balls.
The weird thing is, though, if he had played, that Terry Marnie wouldn't have played that first one.
Well, yeah. And but I think it was a shame in the second test, because I think otherwise he'd have come in and he'd have probably, I'd have probably pushed Cusel Pereira down to probably three, looking at their team. But they're not a bad team.
Who was it actually about at three?
They brought in Fernando Ashada, didn't they? Which was, I mean, he got a four-ball duck and he got a 19-ball three. So his test match average is looking really good right now. But fair play.
But yeah, when I had a look in, you know, the top six or seven, they all average 30s to high 30s, I think. And obviously you got Matthews is probably the standout one, isn't he?
Yeah.
But it's like with Chandler playing that shot in the second innings. They just seem to be a side that on the day are quite good, but it only takes like a mad half an hour and they can lose a game.
Yeah, I think Mickey Arthur must be ripping whatever's left of his hair out constantly, because I just don't know. Great coach, clearly. He's done some great things, but I mean, yeah, I don't know how he gets on. Didn't he used to coach the Pakistan team, and now he coaches this flank team, and it just screams of teams who one innings will look like world beaters, the next innings will look like they've had five jars down the wheatsheaf and Alton.
Got me saying, Sri Lanka are probably clearly favourites, aren't they, really? We've got back last and probably chasing 250, 200, 250, you'd think.
Yeah.
If they have a decent half an hour, they're probably going bowlers out, aren't they?
Yeah. Right then, next thing on our plan or agenda for this. Just thinking for you, future Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Chairman, as you might on baby, is player ratings for England.
Series the title that I like.
See, I feel like I've been a bit harsh here, Tina, after what you said. So,
well, I'll start us off then with Sibley. Now, I've gone for a solid 5 for Sibley. I'll be honest, if he hadn't scored runs in that last innings, he'd have been on a 1, but which is literally for turning up. But I'm giving him a 5 because I was actually although Chandemal's field was a shocker, a fair play to him. I thought to come back after and knowing full well that you've got all that heat on you, you've got Dick Weller giving it big and behind saying, you reckon you're opening in India, to come back and hit 50.
He's brilliant.
He is over. Oh. Yeah, we'll talk about how Dick Weller and his sledging a bit later, but I'm going to give Sibley a 5 now. I know that I think Johnny's going to go a bit lower and go for about 4, is going to be my guess.
I went 5 as well, to be fair.
I'm gonna go full Bob Willis and be the harsh one then.
Oh, hey up, Bob.
I'm gonna give Sibley a 4.
Ooh, okay.
Just based on the sheer fact that he got 50, he got a bit of luck, and if he'd have done it twice, if he'd have got maybe like 50 and a 40, I might have given him, say, I don't know, a 6 or a 7. But
yeah, fair enough.
He got 50. He got a bit of luck. He's an international cricketer. I'd hope he'd get at least maybe 150 across 4 innings.
Yeah,
if you look at his stats so far, he's averaging getting a fifth, going past 50 every 3 games. Has he done that? Yeah, he has. So he's around about average, but just because of how bad he looked.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with that, to be fair.
3 innings, then I'm going to go for a 4.
Crawley, I've maybe been a bit kind here, because I was going to give him a 2, and then I remember that he took quite a few half-decent catches at short leg, so I've moved him up to a 3.
I have actually gone with the exact same there, to be fair. Right, on then. 3, because of his decent catch at short leg.
Yeah, that was all I've really given.
35 runs and averaged 8.75.
Yeah, that was a 1 or a 2, really, but short leg duties got him away with a 3 for me.
What a shambles.
What you going, Jono? 1.
It's a two from me, mate, and it's a 2. You can have 1 mark for.
It's a 2 from Len.
It's a 2 from Len over here. It's a 2 from Bob over here. He's not in the team to catch. He's in the team to get some runs.
True.
And he wasn't very good, and we've all hailed him as a pretty good player of spin. And he looked. He got. I'm giving him a 2, not a 1, because I think he got a couple of good nuts.
Yeah, he got. I would say in that second game, actually, to be fair to him. I felt a bit
that one second innings, especially that was a right, yeah. Right ripper. That's getting me out.
I think in that first test and that second innings, he was in between whether to finish that day as well or
try
and score quickly or just bat it out and go back the day after. But
yeah, I think he'll come back. I don't think it's anything to worry about too much. But that
one place as well, won't he?
Let's not forget that he's only like 2 games removed from getting 250 odd.
Yeah,
whatever he got.
He's got. He's got a bit of credit in bank with that.
And he took Yasir Shaw apart as well, didn't he, to be fair?
Yeah, I
think it's different conditions.
He can't play spin.
He can clearly play spin a bit.
Yeah, it's just one of them, isn't it? Everyone has bad series. He's had a bad
one. Young as well, isn't he? So you've got... Yeah. He'll adapt his game eventually, won't he? So.
Yeah, no worry about...
Adapt or die.
Next up, Johnny Bairstow. Now, I actually feel a little harsh only giving him this, but I'm giving him an 8. I actually thought...
Ooh, I've gone 7/8, so...
See, I thought Bairstow was really good and was a bit unlucky in a sense. I thought he could have gone on and got himself a big score, but didn't. But he did see us over the line in that first...
Yeah, I'm going 8. I'm going 8 with you two there, mate.
And to be fair, I think in the second innings, although he got out, the 29 from 28 was what took the pressure off, I would say.
Lovely reverse sweeps as well.
Oh, yeah, he likes a reverse, especially... Well, he likes any sweep, doesn't he? Let's be fair. He don't bother him.
And obviously, he saw his home in that first game as well, didn't he?
Just likes
to like 8/3.
So it's a 7 from Len. 7.
7.
7. Yeah, I think the only thing he really lacked was that big score, wasn't it? That's the only thing he really lacked. But good runs at important times.
Maybe. I think you've got to give him an 8 just because of Ginger in that heat as well.
Oh, here we go. God. Ginger's alliance over here. We'll move on from that.
Good.
Obviously, number 4, I think, man...
We don't need to discuss, mate. We don't
I've put...
No, actually, I've got a little discussion.
Well, yeah, I'm the same as 8, I think.
Because I've got 9.5, right.
Oh, God.
I do want to go 10. The only reason I went 9.5 is because he failed in the 2 innings that we needed him to see his own.
Mate, he got run out by Johnny Bairstow.
Yeah.
True. He was a bit unlucky in the second one as well, actually.
He's got 400 and something runs in 3 innings. We'll let him off missing a sweep, which is about 300 runs. I think we'll let him off.
I'll be honest, I was going to go 9.5, and then I remembered he took 2 for none in that second inning, so I'll put him back up to 10.
I also think he capped him very well as well.
I did. I think got a bit of criticism for that.
The sledge to get Chandamal out.
Well, yeah, again.
It wasn't a proper sledge, but it was just...
It was good.
It was like the Flint off one to Mind the Windows Tino, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mind the Windows Tino.
So, next up was...
10 from one, anyway.
Is Dan Lawrence. Now, I've gone for a 6.5. Had he got any runs in that second innings, it'd have probably been a 7.5, to be fair. He'd have probably been just behind Bairstow, but...
I've gone 7.
Second game, he looked a bit iffy, so I've gone 6.5. I still think he's going to be a really good player, like, and I don't think there's anything to worry about. I just think he missed out on that ton first game, and then second game just didn't really put much on board for us, sadly.
I've gone 7 because, obviously, you're getting 70-odd in your first game in conditions that you're not used to. And then, also when we're 8/3 or something stupid, got, obviously, Sora's own. And then, the second game, he didn't do anything, but, again, it's his first 2 games in international cricket, but in conditions that you're not used to. So, I'll be nice and give him a 7.
Ooh, you are nice. It's a 5 for me.
Oof!
5! Oh, that's harsh, that is.
Oof.
We are deducting points for not getting 100 in the first innings. If you get 70, you should get 100.
I'll say that to you this season then if you get
that absolute goober that he dropped first game. Well, I'm going to take some marks off of that as well.
But he took a really good one in the second game.
I couldn't care less. That's his job, to catch things and get runs. And in the second game, he didn't get any. So he's having a 5. So good start to Test cricket.
With a 5.
Really well, first game. Nothing to write home about in the second. I think he's a very important member to keep around the squad. I think he's going to have a big future. I think he can play. I do.
Fair enough.
He's got enough of the arrogance, hasn't he? He's got a bit of a strut about him. I like that.
He doesn't look fazed by anything, fair play.
Doesn't look arrogant, but he looks like he
What about his bowling that he did? Was it the first test?
Oh, mate. Again, club cricketer inspo right there is him bowling in a test match.
That's the only reason why I'd go down to a 5 is for the bowling.
Right then, number 6 for England, obviously keep it. Josh Butler, I've gone an 8.
I've gone 9. I'm
tempted to push him up to 8.5.
If Giroud gets 440 runs and gets 9.5.
What a player.
He gets 150 and gets a 9.
I'm going 8. Amen. 8. He did a good job.
He's getting an 8.
I'm getting 8.5 then.
Oh, God.
Right. Come on, we're going to have to hurry up through these because we're already 35 minutes in and we're still on point one of four.
Right, okay. So we shout out the numbers then and everyone...
Yeah, we'll just go quick.
Please, we'll shout them out.
Sam Curran, I've gone as 5.5.
Five.
Yeah, that's fair enough then. I think we all know he didn't do anything with a bat. Made things happen for one test, didn't he, I guess? But yeah, one of great. Don Bess, I've gone 7.
6.5.
6.
Fair enough.
Still not convinced.
His stats are good, but I don't think he bowled anywhere near as good
I'll
as
I'll be honest, mate. I think he didn't.
Very well.
I think I'd have gone for a 6 or 6.5 like you if it weren't for the 30-odd in that innings that sort of reminded people, I guess, why we're sticking with him. But
we're putting his blanket on a snake pit. You want him to get 8 wins in the game, don't you?
Definitely.
Rather than get 30.
Jack Leach, I'm going 7.5, so half a point higher.
Yeah, I'll go with a 7.
I'll go with a 7, yeah.
7 for Jack Leach. The more I think he's going to come out to be the number one spinner, he just needs to bowl more.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have him over best every day of the week, I think.
Next up, Mark Wood. I'm going to go 7.5 as well again for him. I'm so glad he got some wickets, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7 just on sheer work rate and desire alone.
7, because he's a nice bloke and he's funny.
Yeah, he's funny. I like him.
He is a good lad.
He put proper Baldy's Todd off, didn't he, for the lads?
He did,
And he's quick. Gets an extra point for being quick.
Yeah, he's quick as shit. He's about 5 foot fuck all, and he absolutely throws down thunderbolts. That deserves anyone's money, doesn't it?
Totally off topic, but how fucking funny is it when you see him next to like Stuart Broad, who's 6'4", and you think, shit, you know, he bowls 95 mile an hour, and he's about 5'9" and
like Jason Holder. He's like 7 foot and built like a brick shithouse, and he's bowling like 70 mile an hour, and you've got Mark Wood, who's 5 foot and chucking 95 mile an hour down.
Mikey says in the commentary, mate, it's all about the front leg. Keep the front leg straight.
That's a tip, dude. Might find a yard then.
Already 9, mate.
Nah. Stuart Broad, I've gone for an 8. 40 degrees well in that first test. I was tempted to give him a 9 purely for the 11 not out, to be fair.
I'll go 8 as well. That was a great first morning. He had set us on the way to winning the game, that, didn't it?
Yeah. And then last but not least, the king himself, Jimmy Anderson. I've gone 8.5.
I would agree with that.
I've got 9.5.
I reckon he's got 9.
10 because I had to put Anderson 0.5 lower.
Did he bowl in the second innings?
Bowl like 2 overs, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
The spinners run pretty quick, really.
But if he didn't get the 6, we won to one that game, let's be honest.
No. Well, true. He is the man for that.
They'd still be batting now, to be fair.
hashtag Anderson better than Capel.
Yeah, we'll remember
hashtag
that.
Hashtag only in England.
Yeah.
Right then. Now that we've managed to somehow get through the... I guess, to be fair, the Sri Lanka-England bit was always going to be the main bit. So... Next up, I've got a bit of a controversial topic for us, and that is, of course, Alex Hales. Now, for anyone who's missed the Big Bash League, Hales obviously plays for Sydney Thunder. They've made it through in third place to the knockout stages. I think
How could anyone miss it, keeping up to date with third man cricket?
You know.
The Badger loves a tweet.
The Badger loves tweeting the BBL scores.
You do. Fair, I forgot what I was on about now, boys. Thanks for that. Big Bash. So, yeah, tomorrow you've got the Heat versus the Strikers. Then you've got the top two teams, the Sixers versus the Scorchers, because it's right confusing. Whoever wins tomorrow plays the Thunder on Sunday.
I'll never understand the league table where you have it. You play like a season, even though it's a short season, but you play an entire season. And then
only 3 people out of 8 get knocked out.
And then only, less than half the teams even go out.
That's a debate for
another
Australians
day. That's Australians for you, mate.
Oh,
was he bashing again? Johnny will be loving this. Johnny,
how can you play? Was it like 14 games and then 5 teams qualify? Well, it's like you might as well just have.
They're all within about 3 points of each other as well, so you can literally throw a towel on them.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about dollar bills, isn't it? That's what it's about, whether it's right or not. So anyway, it'll all go on. It'll be done next week, I think. Next Saturday, is it? It finishes. But obviously, Hales, top run scorer. Little one for you. 14 innings, 535 runs, an average of 41.15. 30 sixes.
I haven't got that many in about 3 years.
53 fours. 350s, a ton, which was 110, and that was one of the best knocks I think I've ever seen, I'll be honest. And a strike rate of 163.61. So the question is, why is he not in the England team? Now, we all know
the
reasons why. We've heard about the drugs. We've heard about him being in Bristol with Ben Stokes. We've all heard about him being in the Sun, like many in England sports star is, for cheating on his missus. But at the end of the day, my argument would be it's about winning. I'll be honest, I still think we almost made the biggest mistake ever of not picking him for the one-day World Cup, because, let's be honest, James Vince was no replacement for Jason Roy, and it almost cost us. He's got to be our joint best, or in our top two best openers in T20s alongside Butler. So why are we not giving him another chance?
Well, let's go around the room, shall we, to start with, okay? I'll go last, because I already know what my feelings are very, very clearly. So let's start with you, Turner, then. Should Alex Hales be in the England team, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Lal, should he be in the England team, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm obviously a unanimous yes, because I just feel like at the end of the day, they're professional sportsmen, aren't they? This isn't like, it's not club cricket where you can talk about dropping someone because they're a bit of a bad egg. Like, surely... Surely in professional sport, you pick your best team, no matter what they've done. He's apologised.
Just fit him in a different changing room. As long as he goes out and gets wins you the World Cup, you're fine, aren't you?
Not everyone has to get on. Like I say, the professional sports team... I just got this bit of a vibe about this whole situation, like it's being run by a bit like Owen Morgan's little private club.
Mm.
Like, you've got to come and fit into our club.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best. He is currently, as we sit here right now, probably the most informed and best 2020 player in the world.
He also plays all around the world, doesn't he? And obviously, the World Cup's going to be in India, so...
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the one thing that I think... It gives him half a chance. He hasn't played IPL in a couple of years. No one's wanted him, but they're surely going to want him this year. I think his only way into the team, and I still don't think it'll happen, because I think Owen Morgan's decided he ain't having him, and while Morgan's
captain, he's got to win the IPL, let's be honest.
But he's got to go, and it's not just going the IPL. He'll get in the IPL. I don't think that's a question. I think the thing is, he's got to go and be probably the top run scorer in the top two or three, which sounds daft, because... I'll be honest, I expect him to score more runs than any other England player, even Butler, to be fair, in the IPL. But I just, yeah.
Do you want to know my prediction, Tony?
What's your prediction?
He will open the batting for RCB.
RCB, big shout.
He's left Finch out, and I reckon he'll open.
I'd be tempted to say he might go to Chennai. Would be one of my guesses.
No, mate, he's not old enough.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know.
35 or older.
I think he might fit though, Chennai, as an opener. I think they might go for him. But we can talk. We'll talk IPL another time, because I'll be honest, that auction, you don't even know who's going to be in it yet, and I'm sure that'll be another.
It's middle of Feb, isn't it, when they do
that? Yeah, they announced it'd be Feb the 18th, but you don't know exactly who's going to be in it.
Or was that just rumoured?
Yeah, they're not doing that this year. Next year, they're going to add two teams, and I believe. So, I think we're all unanimous that we would pick Hales. Anyone?
He's got to be in the squad, hasn't he? If he's not even... Because, you know, they might back Roy or whatever, but he's got to be in the squad.
Yeah. If he's in the squad, he's got to play.
Does anyone here, though, think he's even going to get in the squad? Because I'll be honest, I think no matter what happens, he'll never get in.
I don't think they'll pick him. And I think they've got some explaining to do, because if they came out and gave me some legitimate reasons that weren't what I already know, I think I could get on board with it. But I think it's the fact now that this is all going on, and I think people now know that there's kind of more going on, potentially.
Yeah, I think people now know there's more to it than just two failed drugs tests.
Yeah.
Which apparently...
He's like scrapping with his own teammates, and fair enough, but he clearly isn't, is he, so...
Yeah, exactly. So let him play, for fuck's sake.
I think we'll all agree with that. Let him play.
That'll be another explicit one now, Turner.
Yeah, it's all right. I think people have accepted that they can't listen to this round, kids. Right then, so we'll leave the wheel cricket behind and we'll move on to a bit of club cricket. Now, we did our first ever room 101 last week. Aid picked it. He wanted to get rid of the draw. And I'll be honest, you had some support, dude. You did have some support. Johnny from Woodstock was a fan of it.
At least doing half a season without
it. There's no half and half in Room 101. It's gone.
I had a lot of time for Woodstock cricket, and I really thought they were getting behind the podcast and all that. having to watch him and read him say, get rid of the draw, I was horrified. The guy who started listing off.
That's only because Johnny wouldn't get a game on a Saturday if we had
him. A big shout out to whoever it was who just started listing out like famous draws.
I think that was Tom
cricket.
Sutcliffe. Yeah, he did.
I was a big fan of that. Let's just give a list. I don't need to say anything. Here's just a list of really good draws.
So yeah, I hate to tell you, you lost out on that one. So the draw does not stay in Room 101. We're keeping the draw. I might admit that I maybe agree with you. You can maybe do half and half, but that's the best you're ever going to get, I think, mate. So we'll get on to another Room 101 later on. Jono's got one ready, and I'm going to add a bit to Jono's one. But quick little thing. Last week we spoke a little bit about, obviously, getting rid of the draw was one of the innovations brought in last year, and obviously we had all the COVID rules. But a couple of other things that came in were coloured kit, pink balls. What do you guys make of it? Because I'll be honest, I'm quite a big fan of changing and making everyone play in coloured kit or a pink ball. Brighten it up a bit, liven it up a bit for the kids. Kids will enjoy it more. I'm quite a fan of it. But I know that I mentioned this in our second team last year, and there was very few people who agreed with me. They were even the lads who are only like in the 30s, 40s were very much, oh, no, it's a red ball. I wear me whites. We look smart. It's a classic look. I wouldn't be playing pyjama cricket.
This brings you to my argument last week, mate. If you're playing with a pink ball and coloured kit, you're not going to have a draw, are you?
Why not?
It would feel a bit odd if you were playing
with coloured. Maybe half and half again.
Half would be good, because you can have half with a pink ball, coloured kits, a bit more fun, whatever.
That's what your first team boys are doing.
When you're playing a full season, it can drag on a little bit. So if you're changing it, you know, half and half, can mix it up a little bit, might make it a little bit more fun. And I did better with the pink ball than the red ball, so I'm more for it.
What do you think, Jono? I can imagine you being a bit more of a traditionalist.
Oh, no, Mr. Appy will be definitely not, mate.
I obviously prefer to have the whites on, obviously, but I'm not opposed to having like a split. I'd happily play in the colour kit. We've got really, like, fortunately, we've got a really nice coloured kit. Like, we have just like club coloured kit, so we have like just a kit bag. I don't know how we have had it in the past where everyone buys their own kit, and that was a bit of a pain because you get like non-matching kit. But
yeah, we have that occasionally. The amount of tops I bother to people,
it's good because you could have like a triple XL top in the smallest trousers because it's first come first serve. So
yeah,
good entertainment then.
Provides great value. Yeah, absolutely right. So I think it's got a place. Yeah, it's the pink balls that I don't get. I hate them. Passionately.
Rock hard, is what I've always found.
Absolutely dreadful.
Sting the hands, I'll give them that.
Yeah,
it does hurt more, to be fair.
You end up with, bloody
fluorescent pink spots on your back.
Smashed at you for the first five overs, and it absolutely wrecks. And then you end up with the
seem fall apart, I always think, as well.
Yeah, they're knackered within 10 overs, so they swing for about three. It's like, I'd imagine it's very much like playing in the subcontinent somewhere, but not for me.
It's better for when you come in and biff it at the end, though, and then ball's doing absolutely nothing, and you can just pick where you want it.
It's all right for you, Ginger, then, isn't it? I think, to be fair, I can't disagree. I'd love the future to be half and half you play.
Yeah.
Even a case of maybe whereby it alternates a 1 week your colours, 1 week. I don't mind how they do it, but I'd like to go half and half. I think that'd be decent, to be fair.
How do you reckon they would do it?
They'd probably just say first half this, second half this.
You know how they've said, what have they said about this year? I think the format. So we're doing so much where
you boys are. I'm different, aren't I?
Where we play such and such, aren't we? Where we play
win lose.
Lose, and then we've got win, lose, draw, and stuff like that. So we've got that different format. So all you say there is you say, right, for your win, lose, draw, you are playing in your whites, and for your win, lose, you're playing in your colours. If you've got colours available.
The
problem is that you can't force people to wear it because not everyone's got it available to them, have they?
No, that's the thing, isn't it? But yeah, I think it'd be good to have more option to wear colours as well, because let's be fair, or in our case, our club, we've all bought the colours because we also use it as like a training kit, and yet we wear it probably once or twice a season at best, because we only wear it in the cup. So I think it'd be good to have more coloured stuff in, but at the same time, to be fair, I do understand I prefer the red balls to the pink ball. I can't lie on that one.
Half and half is the future, mate.
Half and half.
It keeps you and your Mr. Half Happy pizza. Happy over here, and it keeps me happy, so...
Is there any other innovations in club cricket we've seen recently that you'd watch it? I've seen a few leagues doing like new T20 competitions. I think is it down in Sussex? They do a Sussex Slam and do like they've mixed it up a bit and do a bit more T20 and sort of focus on the T20 at the weekends, I think it is, or on the Friday nights.
I was going to say, was our league doing it on a Friday night for top two divisions, is it all?
I think for the top two divisions, yeah, and then I think us lowly ones, we're just back there on Sundays. Yeah.
I think that's a decent idea, because obviously it gives us some to watch on a Friday if we've still got some sort of restrictions in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think T20, you've got to have plenty of T20 in this day and age in league, somewhere amongst the league cricket, whether it's this cup or whatever, because people are going to want plate, aren't they? Whether everyone wants plate or not, there's going to be people, and especially the youngsters coming through, they're going to want have a go at it. So I think you add it in as a cup or something, but you make sure you've got it, and I think that's fair enough, to be honest.
I think they've got the little shield that we're in, is it Div 2 and down? Plate. Something like that.
The plate.
That's a good idea, because obviously, I know we've gone and played against some of the big teams, you know you're going to lose, and you know it's like 9:30 on a Sunday morning, and it's a bit like, oh, you can't be bothered, but I think it makes it a bit fairer, doesn't it? From Div 2 to whatever, is it Div 8 or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
As many teams as you want. I think it's probably make it fairer.
Any thoughts, Jono, on the T20?
Well, it's just, I enjoy the day. It's not like I'm no good at it, so I always struggle to really enjoy it because I'm not very good. But in terms of like a day, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it?
For me, it's all about the day out, enjoying myself and staying competitive, because like Lyle's just said, if you get absolutely smoked, it's not very enjoyable to get absolutely smoked, especially against someone who takes it very seriously, because I think it's meant to be fun and enjoyable, isn't it?
That's one of the best stories of the T20 ones.
Your baby is again.
Teams. Ball won it. What's Dom Cork's lad name?
Cool. We were playing Leek. We were playing in the Barney McCord or the 2020?
2020 at Meekings, weren't we, I think?
Oh, yeah. So it was when we were having semi-finals and finals and stuff on the day. So if you lost, you were out. You could go home kind of thing. I don't know whether you remember it tonight. I think we only did it.
Yeah, that's what that's what they're doing this year as well now. That's the plan for this year. Yeah, yeah. They've happy given days, up on the three teams idea and gone back to four.
Good day. Well, we did that and we played Leek, and I think we bowl first, didn't we? Yeah, we bowl first. We got off to a decent enough start, and then Greg Court came in and he's just smacking it everywhere, and we're all like, oh God, this is great. Lyle bowls at him and his catch gets absolutely smoked at me. It never touched my hands, never touched my body, and it literally just got wedged under my armpit. Wedged in there.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
We won't talk about the second innings either.
No, we won't, because if we mention the second innings, it's only going to go badly.
Well, I'll just give my dad a shout out, because his one claim to fame in cricket is that in like an under 12s or 13s match, he stumped out Dominic Cork for win the match, and Dominic Cork had a bit of a hissy apparently.
Remember when you captured him when we played under 13s and a bald one and he went straight through your hands and hit you on the bonce?
Oh yeah, mate, that's no shock. That's why I wasn't a keeper really, mate. That's my excuse. I also remember me stumping someone out, me and you celebrating, and my dad saying he hadn't seen it at square leg umpire. Oh, stumping from me was rare, so the fact that your dad missed it,
surprising, caught it, mate.
Well, exactly, mate, exactly. Right, last thing I want to talk about before we enter our room 101 and sort of close this off for the second episode is really quickly about sledging. Now, obviously, sledging has been probably the main talking point across the last couple of series. We've had Tim Payne calling people dickheads, Ravi Ashwin saying India's going to be your last tour. I don't think he'll make it that far, to be fair to Tim Payne. We then had Dick Waller asking Root for bats, asking Dan Lawrence for batting tips, telling Johnny Bairstow he only plays for cash, asking Sibbers if he's going to open. And to be fair to England, they weren't scared about following it up. And I think absolute beauty from Root, who I don't normally expect it from, for him to ask Chandy to throw his wicket away and then the very next ball to absolutely sky one was beautiful. As you say, very Tino best. Sledging, A, do you agree with it in cricket, which I do, and what about it in club cricket where we're meant to be having fun?
You'll know what I'll say about it, so we'll go
well,
with
you'll love it, I know you will, so that's why, and I love it, so I'm interested
to see if depends on what terms, though. If it starts getting personal, then no, obviously.
Yeah, as soon as someone calls someone a dickhead or whatever.
We all play for fun, don't we? So, as long as it's something fun, just a bit of mick-taking or whatever, and it's quite light-hearted, they find it funny, or you just try and put them off a little bit, just keep talking to them, or whatever like that. A bit like what Dick Waller was doing. But as soon as you start calling someone a dickhead or whatever...
Yeah.
Unless I've not got any wickets and I'm getting angry, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I never thought that from you.
No, we. As long as it's light-hearted, yeah, I think it's fine.
I see. I'm a bit thingy for this. Like, club cricket, international cricket, I think they're kind of two separate entities. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, professional sportsmen, you're kind of, like, setting an example, aren't you? But club cricket, like, if someone calls someone a dickhead, I think you just let them crack on.
Yeah.
Dickheads knocking about in club cricket. I'm probably one of them.
Well, true, yeah. We all are.
Just kind of shrug my shoulders and just go, yeah, right. You got anything better than that? Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got no issue unless it gets like proper personal. And I've seen it a couple of times. And I won't mention the club's name because that's not right to do. But there's a couple of, I know Lal can think of a couple. They're probably the same ones that I am that spring to mind.
That's the fat name around someone's head. But yeah, apart from that.
But I think that's what we've got to remember. We're playing club cricket. And I think to get on the wind-up, I think there's a big difference between winding someone up and abusing them.
I love winding umpires up as well. That makes they stop giving me any decisions. But I can remember when Whitey said something last year, and he said I was bowling round. I says, I'm not bowling round. He goes, well, you are round. Get back to your mark. I was like, no. Cheers, mate.
Have a word. Any particularly good sledges you've had or you've given out or you felt bad for? I can give an example if you really want one, if you boys can't think of one.
I remember, we won't name names or teams. I don't know if you were playing, Jono, when they were on about something to Tom Myatt and about his bat off.
We won't mention names. Tom Myatt.
No, I can't remember that, mate, but that's a bit tight, just abusing a 13-year-old lad, to be fair.
You're literally abusing a 13-year-old lad.
that might be where my story comes in, because I remember playing a Sunday game.
Oh, I had one, actually, off the mighty Mark Bengry. He says, I'm not going to swear, obviously, Turner. It was like, go back to Wedgwood with Rams takeaways and stuff like that. You know, what else do we had? What was yours, Turner?
Well, I was going to say, I've been on both sides, so I've had, weirdly, Mark Bengry's son, Dion. Beamed me twice, and then after I cover-drived him for four, he told me that I was wank and I hadn't got a clue, and it was embarrassing being watched by such a dickhead like me. Bearing in mind, I hadn't said anything.
What has he said wrong then there, Tina?
Well, yeah, true. he then got made to come off by the umpire for the fact that he beamed me about three times. Our mate Azza was telling him to pipe down because he was picking on the nicest person in club cricket, which was probably the biggest compliment I've ever had.
What a liar.
At the end of the game,
with whoever said that, because whoever said that to you is a massive liar.
Probably so. True. And I'll never forget the fact that at the end of the game, even though they'd won, he was already in his car and gone before we'd even left the pitch to do handshakes, which was laughable. But then I've been on the other side where I've talked a 14-year-old out of the wicket. We'd only hit 70-odd, and he He was opening the bat.
Only in little kids turn.
His mate was on about 48, and he was on like 3 after about 15 overs. So I just started telling him to moose it because I was getting bored, and he got himself out, going running down the track. Then he, which I felt bad for, to be fair, but at the same time, it's only a Sunday game, wasn't it?
It's only a 14-year-old lad, Tina, going home crying.
Yeah, be all right. Them tears will have helped him to grow into a stronger player, mate. That's my view.
He's probably retired now.
Probably, yeah.
Never set foot on a pitch again.
Is there any more stories, or can we leave?
I've literally seen some professional cricketers going at it before, abusing. I've seen it.
Oh, I remember one actually, John.
Overseas pros go at it before.
I don't know if it was actual sledging, but I think it might have been when TP was on the boundary. This involved both of our clubs, actually.
Yeah, I remember that.
The second team game. Yeah, when there was like a full 22-man brawl.
Yeah, TP, like, bless him. Tom had an absolute skinful, bless him. I think he might have been to Stoke that day. I think Stoke was
TP. TP having a skinful, I do not believe that. Permanently on a skinful, isn't he?
Mm.
That's a funny day, that was, though.
That was a great day, though.
Great day.
Dear. Right then, I think we'll leave sledging there before we mention too many people's names and they start like complaining. So we got
people coming to the front door in a moment, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not looking. Yeah, my front door's going to get knocked on probably tomorrow morning. Great. So last thing today, room 101. We're passing over to Jono. Now I think Jono has got one spot on here, and I think this might be the first thing that gets locked up in room 101. So go for it, Jono.
Yeah, so presumably heading into the depth of despair of Room 101 this week is a pet hate of mine in club cricket. So, on behalf of club cricketers everywhere, in Room 101, I want to put non-matching batting helmets. And what I mean by that is if your club colours are like blue, so like our club colours are blue, coming out to bat in like a bright red helmet, like a West Indies style. Or if your club colours are green, strolling out in a blue helmet. I just hate it. It's tacky, and I hate you, and I want to put it in room 101.
Special
shout out to the people who wear white helmets, because that's a different degree of special. So inclusive of that is like white helmets.
Well, white kit.
We've got a lad at Bignall End who plays in the seconds occasionally and in the thirds. Shout out to Madge. Great guy.
Oh, big Madge.
great guy. But he wears a white helmet and it just needs going in the bin, mate.
Well, I can't disagree with you. And I'll be honest, the first thought when you said this to me the other day was a lad who plays for us, Ollie Wilson. His nickname is The Pipe, which says it all about him. He's had more clubs than Jack Nicklaus. And he plays for us. He's played for us for 2 years. He has not got a single piece of Wedgwood kit other than a t-shirt I gave him. And he turns up in every other team's kit from all the clubs he's been at, and he wears a red lid and we play in blue. And I don't even know where the red lid's from, because he's played for 3 different clubs that wear red lids. It could be Meekins, it could be Caverswell, it could be Barlaston. I ain't got a clue. But yeah, I'm with you on this one.
I agree with you, to be fair.
And I'm gonna lob in a bit of a controversial one. And I know JS Sports who sell them, and I know Spider who sell them, aren't going to be very happy with me. But I think
we're going to get closed down, mate.
Yeah, we're going to get shut down. We want these people. So like Gary can come on the pod
Gary
anytime.
And Pete can come on anytime.
Pete can come on the pod. If they want to chuck us any gear, they can chuck us some gear. We'll even sell it off in a raffle.
Do the new bat, to be fair.
Yeah, I've told you Woodstock, bags. And he keeps asking Jono from Woodstock. But I'm not a fan of people who have club badges on their helmet and club cricket.
That needs to get in the bin as well.
If you play for a county, yeah, fair enough. If you play for England, fair enough, you have your badge on. But
tape over the badge.
I don't mind that taping over it when they drop down. But if you're Sammy Smith, who plays for Modishall 2s, for example, who's just a make-believe one, so we don't insult anyone, and you're wearing a bloody £200 Shrey helmet that's got the Modishall badge on. Why? Why? I don't get it.
What are your thoughts on, like me, who don't like wearing a lid? Because obviously, one, helmets struggle to fit my head anyway.
Well,
and two, I do see the ball better without one. Do you think you should have a cap on or bat without a cap?
Should bat with a cap on. I always think you should have at least a cap
true,
on.
True, but again, caps fitting my head, mate.
Wow, we don't want to talk any more about your big head and getting it through the changing room doors. I've heard Big Lend after I've double sliding doors these days.
New changing rooms, mate.
So we'll put that up on Twitter. We'll let it have a vote. I'll be amazed if non-matching helmets.
I might vote against him just because it's just funny.
Yeah, and helmets with badges don't get put in room 101. But we'll see. So I think that is us done for tonight, boys, which, to be fair, at 1 hour and 5 minutes in is probably quite a good shout. So thanks for joining me, as always. Before we go, obviously, just a reminder about Ashton Hume. If you can have a little look on social media at that and donate if you can and just send a message of support to him, that would be great. Obviously, we're on all the social media, so if you can add us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, that would be class. And if you want to subscribe to our podcast, we've had 188 listeners, but we've only had a couple of subscribers, so wouldn't say no to some more subscribers. And basically, next week we'll be back. We'll do a preview of the England versus India Test Series. We should be having Andy Mountford from Betley CC, who does a lot of Betley, coming and joining us, because he's also someone who's been on quite a few tours away with England, so it'll be interesting to hear his thoughts on away tours. And basically, guys, that's it. So, once again, a big thank you to Woodstock for supporting us. Take a look at their podcast as well, the Slogging It Pod. That's really good. And if you want something to do on your Friday night, I know they're doing an Instagram Live called The Big Night In, which last week was a good laugh, and they like to give us a mention. So, they like to have a laugh at us and our Aussie bashing, to be fair. So, it's always worth giving that a listen. But, yeah, that's it for episode 2. So, hopefully this one goes down as well as the first one, and we'll be back for episode 3 next week. Cheers. Woo! Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket. Yeah.